Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is John Pugliano. I'm the money manager and founder of InvestableWealth.com. And today, we're going to be discussing the seventh wealth building principle, which is profit from nature. Now, if you'll recall, our previous episode was profit from trends. And you may think this is redundant. And although it is very similar, there is a distinction. When we talk about profiting from nature, it might be a little more nuanced. But think of it the way they differentiate economics. They talk about macroeconomics and microeconomics. So when we think of trends, let's think of trends in regard to what you can put on a chart, the performance of a stock, the performance of an index, statistics for a particular country, gross domestic product, unemployment, profit loss, things of that nature. Now, as I say, when we talk about profiting from nature, it's a little bit more nuanced. And it can be argued that ultimately nature is what underlies all the other trends. And by definition, that's probably true. Because without mankind, without Mother Nature, there wouldn't be a stock market. There wouldn't be any profit or loss. So ultimately, yes, all of nature drives trends. But again, think of macroeconomics, microeconomics. When we speak of profiting from nature, we're going to be zeroing in specifically on events. In terms of nature, there are really two types of nature. We're going to break it down into three, but at a high level, let's look at the first two. There's Mother Nature, so floods, drought, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes. And then there's human nature. You know human nature, fear, greed, love, hate. So again, we can think of the forces of nature basically as being the trend behind the trend. And that's what we're going to discuss in today's episode and why it's important for you to be able to recognize these so you can profit from them. And like we talked about on the episode on identifying value, we want to focus not only on how you can profit from nature in terms of your investment portfolio, but also how you would do it in terms of your personal life. So when the previous episode talked about trends, you can think of that more in terms of quantitative analysis, plotting the performance of a stock or an index on a chart. That's very quantitative. What we're going to talk about in this episode, as it regards to nature, is going to be similar trends, but this is going to be more qualitative. Again, in thinking in terms of human nature, fear and greed, a little harder to quantify, but nonetheless very important when it comes to understanding how the markets work. Now, I mentioned that there are basically two types of nature. There's Mother Nature, you might call them acts of God, and then there's human nature. Now, a subcategory underneath human nature would be the action of government. In our times, government is so ubiquitous and so omnipresent and omnipowerful, I've broken government out as its own separate category within the nature. So we're going to talk of Mother Nature, human nature, and then government. So let's talk about Mother Nature first. As I've already mentioned, Mother Nature is going to create very event-driven trends. A hurricane, a tsunami, an earthquake, a tornado, a drought, an epidemic or a pandemic. As we mentioned Mother Nature and I talked about hurricanes, a joke comes to mind, and I've got to tell it to you. I know I shouldn't do this, and I know it's going to insult some people, but sometimes when we look at the state of our economy, we just have to tell some jokes to get us to laugh, to keep us from crying. So if you've heard this before, excuse me. If this insults you, I apologize ahead of time. What does a hurricane in Florida, a tornado in Oklahoma, and a divorce in Tennessee all have in common? Somebody's going to lose a mobile home. Now you can see why I'm a money manager and not a comedian. So let's get back to these events of Mother Nature. You can understand how these would affect the market or perhaps affect your profitability. Do you remember the tsunami that engulfed Japan in Fukushima? It caused flooding of their nuclear reactors. It left much of the country without power, shutting down industrial production. Companies like Honda and Toyota were definitely affected, as were many other Japanese industries. So you could have had an opportunity to short their market and make a profit. Just preceding that, there was major flooding, I believe it was in Malaysia. It shut down many, many factories that manufactured integrated circuits for the computer industry. It affected deliveries on products like smartphones, microprocessors. Again, there was money to be made in that disaster. A few years back, I was in Europe on business. This is when the Icelandic volcano erupted, and it shut down air travel across the Atlantic for, I don't remember exactly, I think it was close to 2 weeks, 10 days. I was supposed to leave France and fly to India, but my flight was canceled, and I couldn't get a flight back to the States. I ended up being stuck in Paris for about 4 or 5 days. I use stuck loosely because since almost all business came to a halt, I ended up doing some awesome sightseeing. Notre Dame, Versailles, the Louvre. It was the best business trip I was ever on. I linked up with some other employees from my company. We were eventually able to get a rental car, and drive from Paris down to Madrid and catch a flight from Spain to the U.S. Now, I bring this up for two reasons. One is on a personal level. We got word that the transatlantic flights were going to be delayed, but at the time, we had no idea that it would take so long. And we knew the farther south in Europe you went, the easier it would be to get a flight out. So when word first broke about the eruption, looking back with hindsight, we should have engaged a rental car to hedge against the possibility of our flights being canceled. If our flights weren't canceled, we could have just gotten rid of the rental car or kept it for a few days and it would have been a minor expense. As it was, because everybody was trying to get into southern Europe, all the rental cars were taken, and it was very difficult for us to find one. So looking back, as I say, as a precaution, we could have spent a few dollars and gotten the rental car ahead of time, just in case as an insurance policy. Of course, as I said, I didn't mind being stranded in Paris for 4 or 5 days. I got some great sightseeing in. The other reason I bring this up is on the investor level. Because flights were disrupted for around 10 days, the airlines took a hit on their earnings for that quarter. Again, that would have been an opportunity to short the stock or to sell it early at the first sign of danger so that you didn't suffer a loss in airline stocks. Now, I didn't dig into the details, but I would imagine that rental cars actually had a nice profit that quarter. So again, that could have been an opportunity to short or sell the airlines and buy the rental car companies. Just one small example. Think of all the other events that occur that you could profit from. Remember Katrina? What a nightmare that was. Now, I know some of you are saying, John, you're just a heartless maggot. How can you think of profiting during these disasters and tragedies? Okay, now let's get back to reality. Remember how we always talk about when it comes to building wealth, we want to focus on the facts. We want to focus on the black and white. When a natural disaster occurs, whether it's Katrina or the Fukushima tsunami or an earthquake in Haiti, whatever it is, there's going to be pain and suffering. Now, if you don't make a profit, or even if you suffer a loss as a result of that because you didn't take action, how does that help anybody? How do you help earthquake victims in Haiti because you either didn't make money or lost money? How do you help someone stranded in Europe because of a volcanic eruption that shuts down international air traffic by not making a profit? If someone dies from radiation poisoning in Fukushima, Japan, and you decide not to short the Nikkei and not make a profit, how does that help anybody? Think in realistic terms. Your buying and selling a stock does not add or detract from human suffering caused by Mother Nature. Someone may want to guilt you into that. You may try and guilt yourself into thinking that way. But the fact of the matter is, your action has no consequences. In fact, I could argue that if you made a profit by being wiser than other people, by acting ahead of the trend or getting on the trend early, that you could take a portion of your earnings and donate it to a charity to help the victims in Haiti or to help the victims in Japan. But you're not going to help anybody if you're broke and poor. Like all things in wealth building, we don't think of scarcity. We think of prosperity, and we think about controlling and affecting the things that are within our circle of influence. Keep that in mind and never feel guilty about making a profit if you do it in a legitimate and legal manner. So I won't belabor the point, but you can think of all the ways that Mother Nature affects the markets. Droughts that cause crops to die, that would cause vegetable or beef prices to raise. Just think of those events. Try and put yourself in that situation. Think strategically up and down the supply chain. If there's a drought in California, and it causes beef cattle or dairy herds to suffer, or produce like tomatoes or lettuce or cucumbers, or even tree crops like almonds, if it causes a disruption in that supply chain, who's going to be affected by it? Whose profits are going to be hurt? Will it be the grocers? Will it be the wholesalers? Will it be the growers? How can you profit from it? If almond prices skyrocket, does that mean that consumers will not pay the added price and thus substitute to a product like peanuts or walnuts? Who produces those? Should you buy their stock? Will the input costs to restaurants, will it be too high and cause consumers to stop eating there? If beef prices skyrocket, who will be affected more? Taco Bell, Wendy's, Ruth's Chris? These are all things to consider. This is not greed. This is not heartlessness. This is being wise and strategic. Remember, if you're broke and poor, you can't help anyone. Okay, so you understand how those Mother Nature events work. You can see the same thing happen with government. Governments create war. Governments create inflation. Governments may overregulate. They may be corrupt. Governments can create monopolies which distort the market. Governments can put in barriers to trade, tariffs, taxes. Again, you get the picture. Not only U.S. government, but all governments, they become so large and so pervasive that whenever they enact policies, they can have drastic effects on individual companies and broad segments of the market. Now, again, in this podcast, we're not going to delve into details. It's just to give you an understanding and get you thinking in that direction. When you hear of a government policy, the first thing you should think about is who's going to make a profit and who's going to take a loss from that governmental policy decision. And then you should evaluate on a personal level and understand, is there a way for you to make a profit on it? Now, on the human nature side of things, it's not as black and white, it's not as necessarily event-driven as the acts of Mother Nature and the acts of government. Again, it's much more nuanced. But you should be a student of human nature. Remember we talked in previous episodes about being able to identify value, and in regards to people, that meant being able to judge their character? Well, we know that humans are not angels. We all have fatal flaws. We all have a dark side. Humans can act very callously. Humans can hate. They can lie. They can carry out acts of fraud, deceit. They can be envious, extortion, addiction. It goes on and on. Did I mention murder? These are all the dark side of humanity. On the other hand, there are great sides of humanity. Love, kindness, charity. All humans everywhere exhibit these characteristics of human nature, both good and bad. As an investor, you should always be conscious and know that there's a chance that you're dealing with either a Dr. Jekyll or a Mr. Hyde. When Ronald Reagan was negotiating with the Soviet Union, he was famous for the quote, "Trust but verify." Now I'm much more of a cynic than Ronald Reagan. My advice would be, always be skeptical and verify. So anytime you're dealing with humans or human nature, be skeptical. Be conscious of the fact that there could be a dark side to the transaction. The CEO of the company that you want to invest in, he could be a crook. He could be a fraud. He could be cooking the books. Scams are perpetrated against investors every day. There are the large billion-dollar thefts like the Bernie Madoffs and the Enrons. And then there's the little penny-ante thefts that never get reported. Don't let yourself be deceived. Don't be naive thinking it won't happen to you. Be skeptical and verify. And that goes for me too. Don't take the things that I say for gospel. Verify and fact check things that you hear me or anybody else tell you. Something else is relevant for us to discuss when we talk about human nature, and that's man's ability to either be rational or irrational. Now, I believe there's a part of all humans. It's ingrained in our human nature. It's in our DNA that we have faith in things. If you're a religious person, you have faith in God. If you're not a religious person, if you're an atheist, I still think there's a void there, and it has to be filled with something. So you end up putting your faith in something else. I'm not saying faith is a bad thing. On a personal level, it's critical in my life. And I believe when you look at things like acts of kindness, things that people like Mother Teresa, she couldn't have done the things that she did, the good works that she did, without faith. Throughout the history of mankind, there have been people that were motivated by either their religious faith or some other type of conviction, and they could have never achieved or accomplished the task at hand if they were rational about things. They had a faith in a greater power other than themselves, and that's what gave them the courage and the stamina to go on to victory or to accomplish their task. So I'm not saying faith is a bad part of human nature. I think it could be very good and very positive. But if faith is placed in untruth or inaccurate data, whether it's religious or scientific, it doesn't matter what it is. If you have faith in something that's not true, it obviously can be catastrophic. And again, this can be faith in anything. Faith in a religion, faith in science, faith in government. And we do see this all the time with governments. People get so involved in their theories that just like a religious zealot, they don't look at the truth. They delude themselves into thinking they're being rational. Let's look at Alan Greenspan, the former chairman of the Federal Reserve. Back during the housing crisis, he said that he was shocked. He was shocked that the Federal Reserve's economic models didn't detect that there was a housing bubble. Now, obviously, with a comment like that, Greenspan lived in an ivory tower. He was detached from reality. Because had he lived in my neighborhood, he would have foreseen the massive amount of foreclosures. He would have seen the people that moved into houses that didn't have an income to pay the mortgage. He would have seen the subprime loans that people were taking, the second and third mortgages because they couldn't come up with the down payment, the teaser low interest rates that were inevitably going to rise. And when they did, there was no way these people were going to make their monthly payments. Now, for some reason, Alan Greenspan, the Federal Reserve, and their sophisticated models and algorithms couldn't detect that. But again, people like you and I, we were able to see it because we could see it happening all around us. So that's an example of putting your faith in something that's irrational. And people do it all the time. Again, be skeptical and verify. Something that's important to remember about human nature, and this is not only when you're investing in a company and you're concerned about the management or the intentions of the government or the reliability of an auditor or a rating agency, or to bring it down to even a more personal level when you're dealing with people in your everyday life and you're assessing their character. Again, remember that all humans have flaws and that we know that power corrupts. That's why the founders of our government put in checks and balances to try and prevent the government from getting too large, from getting too efficient. So in your interpersonal relationships, or as you look at companies to invest in, try to understand what checks and balances are in place, or what checks and balances you can put in place to prevent yourself from being defrauded or taken advantage of or cheated in some way. And looking at this dark side of mankind, again, think about ways that you might be able to profit from it. Not in a way that you'd be corrupt or evil, but how is the market going to react to the bad side of mankind? Well, there's going to be police forces, there's going to be law enforcement, there's going to be software to detect cyber crimes, there's going to be authentication protocols, all types of checks and balances. What types of companies provide those services? How can you profit from it? Now, on a positive note, the great thing about humanity, the wonderful thing about mankind, is his ability to cooperate, to form unions and federations with other people, and to create systems where everybody can prosper. That's the foundation of the free market. That's the foundation of how, ultimately, we all make profit. So when you think of human nature, look for those symbiotic relationships. Look for companies or industries or governments that are able to work together, that are able to get synergy, that are able to break down barriers and create opportunity. Now, this episode about being able to profit from nature, like we talked about in profiting from trends, it's all about having a situational awareness, being aware of your surroundings, being aware of what's happening, looking for ways that you can profit or not suffer a loss because of events that are going to occur anyway. Natural disasters, actions of government, good or evil intentions of people, they're all going to occur whether you like it or not. So look for opportunities for you to profit from them. Plan for the inevitable disasters to happen from Mother Nature. They always do. There will always be another hurricane. There will always be another tornado. There will always be a flood. Be aware of these things. Try to mitigate your exposure. And again, find ways that maybe you can profit from it. When it comes to human nature, don't be naive. Realize that mankind has good and bad tendencies. Try and live and organize your life so that you can be surrounded by as many good people as possible and insulate yourself from the evil. On that note, we'll wrap up this episode on wealth building principle number 7, profit from nature, and I invite you to join me again on our next episode where we'll continue our 10-part series and we'll discuss one of my favorite topics, how to decrypt propaganda. So join me for the next episode where we discuss how to read between the lines and not take things at face value. If you have comments about the podcast or you have questions that you'd like to hear answered on upcoming episodes, please contact me at our website at wealthsteading.com. Wishing you the very best of returns. This is John Pugliano. See you on the next episode.